Okay. Before I show a little snippet there of a video, I wanted to share a little bit of these last couple weeks we've been experiencing here in our church. I first want to thank all the members of our church. You guys have been really awesome. You know, our church has been going through a lot of emotional things with losses of individuals, people that were sick or still sick. And so we've just been going through a lot. Our church has been going through a lot. And I want to give thanks to all those that really have stepped up and found a way to help and to really step in and be a church. Be what a church is supposed to do, which is serve our community, serve our friends, our family, our church family. And so you've done, I can't think of a word, but just thank you. Each and one of you personally, and thank you for all your prayers. We definitely need it as a church. And that is actually this year's, as you guys know, we have a new president in our conference, and that is going to be his new mantra for this year. The new theme for this year is prayer. As you know, our nation is suffering a lot, as we've gotten, you know, so many things with the whole shootings but the violence has increased a lot, and just people in despair, anxiety. We have friends that have had cancer. We had friends that died of cancer. We have survivors. I mean, it's just so many things that is going on, not only here in our church, but in our community, in our world. And the reality is that prayer is one of those solutions to that, to a lot of these problems. We want people to see that not only that we can help them, but that God is the one that is going to help them, that God is the answer to all of our problems, that Jesus is the solution to our problems. And so us being active and looking for those individuals that need help and being partaking of that, it is very important because people are looking for answers. Doctors sometimes cannot give all the answers. I with all respect to all the doctors here, or retired doctors, they don't have all the answers. Sometimes they just know what they see. But God has an answer. God has a way to open up new paths and new ways. And so I just want to thank our church for allowing prayer to be a part of this, you know, of our church, and really continue praying. Continue praying because we need that. We this week alone, I experienced a call at 1 o'clock in the morning. I had a member that had a really sharp pain in his stomach, and his wife called me because they rushed him to the hospital and wanted me to pray. It just happened to be that I couldn't sleep that night. And I was like, Lord, give me a reason to pray. So I started praying, and then my phone vibrated, and it was the person from the Spanish church. And then that same next day when I went to go text him and see how he was doing, he had an appendix surgery. Then I found out that another person, their son just got into a major car accident where he fell asleep on the road, and they rushed him to the Spokane by helicopter. They rushed him to Spokane and had some serious injuries. And so we prayed for him the next day. And as I received, you know, these prayers, my friend that had the surgery, he's doing well. And this young gentleman, actually, even though he damaged himself pretty bad, his leg and everything like that, he is alive and at home where he's being taken care of. So God is good. God is good. We need to keep praying for one another. That's for sure. And I have an answered prayer as well here today. There's actually a couple answered prayers. One of them is Darby and Carrie that are here today. I don't see them. There you go. And they're from my Chelan church. Welcome to Brewster. We need to pray for them because they are looking for a place around here. And so I'm praying that they do find a place around here. They're great members in our Chelan church. They're like family. So they will be family, like coming here too. So wonderful individuals, and they have wonderful kids. And then the second prayer that I've had also answered today, are in the back as well, and is Nick and Karen that are here today. Nick just graduated high school. They're at Brewster. Say hi, Nick. And Karen is his mom. and say hello to Karen as well. And they, Karen and I have had some interesting conversations. They're well known by the Heart Cells, and they introduced me to them. Karen is a loving person. She suffered a lot in her life, as she's told me. But through that suffering, she's been able to turn that into love. And she takes care of a lot of kids that you would say are like rejects almost in our society sometimes because of their behavior or things that have happened in there, just judging people, judging them and things like that. And so she's taking in these kids and she feeds them, she counsels them, she gives them love, she gives them tough love. And so it's a privilege to have her here today. I invited her early in the morning. I'm sorry I texted you at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I had a dream and you were in my dream. And so you're an answered prayer, okay, being here today. That's the power of prayer, my friends. When God speaks to your heart, you got to do what he says. I was like, 5 o'clock in the morning? Okay. And I just sent it. So thank you for being here, Karen. Karen is also helping someone, and I've been helping her a little bit. Karen is also, she calls him her kid as well, and he has cancer. He's only about maybe 19, 20 years old. Maybe 21, but he's a young man who has cancer, who's been diagnosed with bone cancer. And yesterday, when I was at the graduation in Brewster, I actually got to see him. He wanted to be part of the graduation. He was FaceTiming, and I got to meet him for the first time through the phone there as he was watching his friend Nick graduate. And it was a sad moment for me in a way to see a young man having to suffer through that, being that my father at a young age, my stepdad, went through cancer, and I know what it does to you. And at a young age, I witnessed that. And so I want to have a special prayer for them and for him at this moment. But also, I invite anyone that can help us, because she is taking care of him, she cannot work. She has a husband that is working at the moment, and he provides for the things that they need, like rent and light and all that stuff. But she takes care of 10 kids, sometimes more, sometimes less. She doesn't have to, but who will? And so she opens the doors to these kids, and they come and eat and stuff like that. And so we bless them with the bed. We bless them with some food. And so I'm just asking if anyone has a heart to give, please let me know so that I can we can continue to help them in this ministry that she has, that God has given her. She doesn't know it yet, but God has given her a ministry. And so I would like to help her. Karen, can you come up? And Nick as well? Just come up. I just want to have a special prayer for them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you so much for what you do for us in and out. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, because you have a way of doing things that sometimes we don't understand. Father, at this particular moment, I have Karen here in front of me, along with Nick. And as you know, they are experiencing a particular trial in their home as they open up their homes to many youths. At this particular moment, we want to bring Jonathan to mind as he's experiencing this pain and this situation with this cancer. Father, I don't know what is your plan, but I know that your plan is always good. I know your plan is always great, and there is power behind your plan, and there is a will behind your plan. And so, Father, may we learn to accept that will. May we learn to accept your power and your plan. Father, may you reveal to Karen, how much you love her, how much you have never abandoned her, and you waited for this particular moment, for this particular thing, to bring her to you, Father. Father, bless her home, bless her plans, bless what she does with these kids, bless Nick, who just graduated and has plans to go to study welding, bless all of their homes, Father. You know everything that's going on. Father, may our church also respond in the same manner and helping her with assisting these kids. May we make it our ministry as well. We love you, Father, and we ask you for this in the special name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Karen, for being here with us. Amen. She did not know I was going to call her to the front and all that stuff. I just like to do stuff like that.
It's crazy because remember I said I had a dream, and I'm not being like Martin Luther King here, but I did have a dream, and it changed my whole sermon somewhat. So I'm going to try to combine it and make it short because we don't have a lot of time. But one of the things that I find a lot of times when we are broken, when we are hurt, is that and it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be frustrated. That's okay. Emotions are okay. They're going to run through you. Even doubt sometimes is okay because that gives an opportunity for God to show himself, to reveal himself in your life and how real he is. Amen. Thank you, brother. And so I want to show you this little snippet. It is kind of a funny snippet, but it's the truth. It's the reality. And so it says here, when you feel lost, broken, and confused, etc., this is what we tend to do a lot of times. Okay, and make sure the volume is up here. All
right. She don't see us? You see me?
Yeah. Yes, I see you. You see me?
So what's happening there? The Bible and the Holy Spirit are talking to each other almost. And they're saying, you see me? You see us? And so the person is, what are they doing? They're not seeing. They're not seeing the importance of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. They're soaked into what? Into self. And so a lot of times the reason why we continue to struggle in our Christian walk is because we're just so consumed of self. It is a society that we live in today. Unfortunately, everything is about obey your thirst, just do it, right? Have it your way, right? We're all consumed about ourselves, basically because we live in America, and that's what we like to talk about is ourselves. As a pastor, I struggle sometimes with that because I need to let others talk too and let them tell them about themselves to me. I want to tell you about me, but then I'm like, wait a minute, let me just sit down and stay quiet and just let them and listen. It's a struggle because we like to tell our story, amen? We like to tell our story, and it is important that we tell our story. But sometimes we need to sit back and just listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us. And so today I want to share with you something that came up to me in the book of 2 Chronicles. Seeking God's face means more of Jesus. As I struggle sometimes with my emotions, as I struggle sometimes with the way that I do things in life and the failures that I have, a lot of times I want to blame God. I want to play the blame game. I want to say, well, it was my mother that had me at an early age and we struggled and this is why I am the way that I am. Or maybe because I went through this situation when I was a child, I was abused, and so this gives me the reason why I am. And you know what? A lot of times, yes, because we go through these things in life, it does in some way factor in our character. It shapes us. It molds us to be the persons that we are. But see, when we seek God's face, things are supposed to happen that would never happen before. One of the things I always hear is that we have Brother Arson here with us. Arson, I want to let you know that we are so grateful to have you here. You know why? Because a lot of people didn't think that you would be here today. But you are here today because you were seeking God's face. And we're going to get a little bit into that. You are here today because we are seeking God's face. We are seeking to have God in our presence, in our lives, to be real. And sometimes that's a struggle because we do what this lady does. We cry, we weep in our misery, rightfully so sometimes, because it seems like things are so dark that we cannot get out of it. Instead of looking, opening up the Word of God, seeking God's face, asking the Holy Spirit to be poured down upon us. And so one of the things that I want to show you today in the short time that I have is that walk that Solomon, the great King Solomon, had with God. That he had the opportunity that even though at 11 years old he had to run a kingdom, okay, he sought after God's face. So here, let's see if I can get to scripture. All right. So here we have the scripture. It says 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, notice that God doesn't say if those people. No, he says if my people, my brothers and sisters, today he's talking to you and I, us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will what? Will heal their land. You know, it was one amazing thing that I saw yesterday at the graduation that really surprised me, being a public school. They had about 4 prayers in between the graduation. In the Lord's name, that just surprised me. I've never seen that in a public school setting before. I don't know who allowed that in that setting and who's responsible for that. But that was amazing, seeing these young people praying, seeking God's face to bless them in their own graduation. I thought that was pretty amazing. Given everything that's happening, people are seeking God's face. My church people, my church family here, we need to continue to seek God's face. There is this covenant, and the covenant is with God. I know it says here it was with Solomon. Solomon and God made this deal. And so basically, as God is speaking here to Solomon, this is not just for Solomon and the people of the Israelites. Okay, this is actually an ongoing covenant that we are talking about today. And here in Deuteronomy 5:2-3 says, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make the covenant, but with us, who all of us are here alive today. Today is the day that he's made this covenant with you. And so the question is, what is a pact? What is a covenant? And I'm going to give here you a brief definition. Basically, it's an agreement between what? 2 or more parties that forces both to meet a series of conditions. Okay? It's not just one person, right? A pact or a covenant takes what? 2 individuals. 2 individuals. 2 parties or more sometimes to have this condition of things that need to be accomplished. It is kind of like a promise, you know, a pinky promise. And you lock in that pinky promise. And so you want to make sure that you keep the promise, right? When you do the pinky promise, you're like, hey, pinky promise, pinky promise. Pinky promise today, you're going to smile. Amen? All right. And so you want to, it's something that even as kids, we do it when we're young. We say, okay, pinky promise. And we do this little pinky promise. Some of them use blood, right? And they'll say the blood promise or different things, right? I don't know. But the thing is that it's a promise that needs to be what? That can be what? Fulfilled. God did not set us up for failure. Would that be fair if God sets us up for failure? No, he did not set us up for failure, my friends. He set us up to have victory. He set us up to have blessings in abundantly because he's what? He is our God. He's going to fulfill his part of the agreement. He is faithful. Amen. And so he's done that with us, and he's asking us to keep, right? To keep that promise that we have with him. Number 2, why seeking the face of God here in this Bible text? What is so important about this? Well, number one, the reason that is important, in Revelation 1:1-5, here we have a scene, 4:1-5, here we have a scene, and because of time, I can't go through these Bible texts, but if you like, I can send you the email or whatever, all these Bible texts. But here we have a scene of John being taken to the throne room where God is. And it's not just God. I mean, it's God and all his, you know, the glory of God. And you see these creatures and every all these representatives in his throne room. But the even though you have all this glory and beauty, the most beautiful thing that he sees there is God and his presence and his glory. It talks about the thunder and the lightning, the rainbow. It talks about the colors that he sees, the light that he sees there at the throne of God. My friends, it is to say to be in the presence and seeking the face of God, it is to be in the presence of God. The presence of God is so important in our daily walk. We're going to get out. I'm going to give you a little story after this, but that is number one. Number two is, it is also to recognize that he is God. That he is a God that wants the best for you. In Exodus, there in the books of Exodus 23, we have that he is our God. He wants us to continue to worship him. That he wants us he wants the only one to have to worship him. And then in verses Exodus 29:45-46, he says, "I am your God. I will dwell amongst my people." He wants to dwell in your homes. He wants to dwell in your car. He wants to dwell with you when you go to Walmart. He wants to dwell with you at all moments. Okay? At all moments. He does not shy away from dwelling with you. Whether you're in pain, sick, whether you're surfing on the coast of Hawaii, wherever it is, he wants to be with you. He wants to be with you even when you don't understand what's going on in your world today. He wants to be with you even in your cancer. He wants to be with you even in your suffering. That is the type of God that we serve. He wants to dwell. His presence wants to light up your life. And I think in the world that we live in today, in the darkness that we live, we need that presence that will light up our life, that would catch us on fire so that we can be on fire for him. Number three, it is to have an intimacy with him that we cannot escape from. My friends, this word intimacy, sometimes with time, it has been pretty much polluted, right? The way that we think about it. But the intimacy that we're talking about here is this closeness that it basically becomes that you can finish each other's sentences. You already know the thought of God because you've been diving into that word. You've been hearing the prayers. You've been seeing the prayers answered. And so as you are connected with God, there's this intimacy. You already know how to discern what is good and what is not good. There is no confusion. There is no gray area. There is black and white. And so you would understand. But the reason why a lot of times we don't understand, we are confused and we don't know whether to go, you know, with the right foot first and the left foot. The reason why is because we don't have a true intimacy with God. The psalmist, I love how he describes this. I have to read this because the psalmist describes it so beautifully in his word. Let us look up Psalms. If you have a Bible, let us look up Psalms 105. There, Psalms 105, verse 4. It's a simple text, but look what it says here. It says, "Seek the Lord with his strength. Seek his face evermore." Seek the Lord with his strength. Sometimes we feel disparity because we're not seeking his strength. He's willing to give us the strength. Right? He's willing to give us his power. He's willing to give us that. But unfortunately, because we don't seek his face, we lack strength. And then let us go to Psalms 139, which is one of my favorites. Psalms 139. And we're going to start from verse 1-14. Psalms 139, verse 1-14. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, whether good or bad, whether we sometimes misbehave or not, or behave, right? He knows our ways. He knows my bad habits, my good habits. He knows everything, right? Verse 4 says, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. There's this intimacy, this presence that our soul desires, to have a God that is there with us, to have a living God that is willing to be that the wings that cover us, be everything in our lives, really. And so it is there in his presence. My experience one time I had when I was a young person was that we were, it was pretty amazing. I was in a room with a bunch of young people. And there in that room, in that particular room, it seemed as though there was a lot of stuff happening. It felt like it was almost the end of the world type stuff. And I remembered as I was there with the young people, the elders of the church came into the room. They had to talk some serious business because some things were going down, and we needed to take action. And I remember that then they came and they walked out. And as I told the youth, I said, come on, guys, let's walk out. And they're following me. All of a sudden we come outside and there are these clouds and all these clouds. I remember there were dark clouds and there was this thundering lightning. And this young lady, she stands up on this little box and she starts to preach the word and saying, ladies and gentlemen, this is the hour. This is the time that we need to take the word to the people of this town. And as she's preaching, I chuckle and I make a joke, bad joke. I said that she needs to watch out because of the lightning. And she might catch on fire, because she said we need to be on fire for Christ. And so I said, she's going to catch on fire. She, you know, keeps preaching there on the thing. And everybody, all the kids chuckled, of course. And then all of a sudden, as I was chuckling, I said, I shouldn't have said that. And as I look up, it seemed like it was a warp started going up like this. Instead of a tornado coming down, it was something going up. And it started sucking me up into the air. And I wasn't scared because I felt like I knew that this was something different. I didn't think anything bad of it. And as it's taking me up in the air, I remember I seen these dark clouds and the lightning and everything. And all of a sudden, I get the opportunity to see these beautiful white clouds and the stillness. And it was a silence. And then as I'm looking around, I see this wonderful, beautiful throne. And I see these gigantic feet. I mean, there just had to be some huge feet. And as I'm looking at this feet, I'm looking up. I said to myself, God? And as I look up to see his face, I wanted to see his face. I only got to see the side of him. And he's chuckling at me. And he says, I see what you have done. And he's like laughing at me. He's like, what do you think of this? And I said, God, and I fall on my feet. I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry. And I remember at that moment, you know, I felt this peace within my heart, that the place where I was in, it was just like so peaceful, like nothing there was bad. And it was just different. And at that precise moment when I felt that, he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, yeah, you got me here. And he says, Omar, I've chosen you to do this and you need to do it. And I'm like, what do you want me to do, God? He goes, you know what you need to do. And as soon as I started asking questions, I descended back down. And of course, I woke up. But I just couldn't, like when I woke up, it was like I didn't want to be where I was at, at that particular moment. I didn't want to be back here on earth. I wanted to be back in heaven. I wanted to be back in the presence of God. I wanted to experience what it is, again, that ability to be able to be face to face with God, to be in His presence. Now, that was just a dream, but it is rest assured that one day, very soon, we will also be in the presence of God. We will also be in the throne room, where all the angels and where all the elders will be, and the glory of God will be presented to us. And we will be there worshiping holy, holy, holy. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more COVID. There will be nothing more. We will be singing holy, holy. We just cannot deny the presence of God in our lives. We don't have to wait for that moment, my friends, is what I want to leave you today. That moment is now. That moment is at this particular moment. His kingdom can enter into your heart. Christ can enter into your heart today. Amen. If all we do is humble ourselves. Amen. If all we do is stop sinning and seek His face. My friends, today, seeking God's face means a lot more than just to seek His face. It means that we need more of Jesus. There, when we talk about the construction, the context of this text, I'm sorry. When we talk about the context of this text, of this particular text, as he's telling this news to Solomon, it's because Solomon had just finished constructing the temple in which he wanted God to be in. Not that God can just be in one temple, my friends. But he wanted the presence of God to be here, to be there with his people, with the people. It is a promise. It was part of the covenant that God has said from when they built the tabernacle. And so this beautiful construction that they did, one of Solomon's most beautiful, actually it was said to be one of the 7 or, I don't know, 10 wonders of the world at that time and everything like that. This beautiful construction, God wasn't there. It doesn't matter how beautiful it was. Solomon understood that the presence of God was not there yet. And so he says a prayer. He says a prayer to God. He says, God, I need you desperately. If you read a little, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's saying, God, I need you desperately to be in the presence of my people so that nothing can touch them. So no plague, no sickness, nothing can touch them. And so that is the response and him and God hearing Solomon's prayer, wise words. He responded to our friend Solomon. And so at that moment, I want to bring this up because I remember my time being in New York where I was in an actual synagogue of a Jewish temple. And it was the most beautiful thing in the world that I've seen in a long time. I mean, I've been to some synagogues even in Israel, but this one was really beautiful. It was made in the early 1700s, and then they redid it, and it has a lot of history. And a couple years ago, they had spent about $7 million to redo the temple. A lot of money, my friends. But the detail, the amount of details, everything in there is symbolic. There's a reason why it has 7 columns, or it has 12 columns here, or it has these 12 different type of colors. In the middle of it, I'm sorry because of the graphics here, but in the middle of it, they have that where you see that little door there. That's where they take out the Torah, and they have old Torahs, rolls of the Torah, scrolls of the Torah, and they take that out and they read it, and they read in the original language, the Hebrew language of God's people, and they start reading this, and you feel this presence coming over you, because you could just imagine as you're sitting there being in the synagogue when Jesus walked in and started reading from his very own words of the promise of the Messiah. And I was just soaking all this in, the symbolism and everything, how God has this promise with us. And so to me, I believe that one of the things that I see in Solomon's life in which he was seeking God's face, it was right before he wanted God's presence in here. There was something very important that he had to do, that he did, that he made sure that the people did, and it was the sacrifice. They had to do a sacrifice that was a symbolic to the sacrifice that Jesus will make for all of us, for all of humanity. And so he made sure that he made this sacrifice before he even called upon the presence of God in this temple. My friends, God wants to bless you. God wants to keep his promise. But we must humble ourselves. We must commit in prayer. We must seek God's face humbly and say, God, we cannot do it ourselves. We need you. We need you in our lives. And so what is God's desire? Because it's not about us. It's about God's desire. God's desire, God wants us to be in his presence. Because in his presence, there is forgiveness. In his presence, there is healing. In his presence, we have protection and we have a blessing. All this means that if we want to be in the presence of God, we definitely need Jesus. Because we're not worthy to be in the presence of God. I am not worthy to be in the presence of God. And so it is in his face that we find a couple of things here. Number one, we need to humble ourselves and look for him through prayer. Number two is that we need to believe in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he did for us. In John 14:1, he states himself, he says, don't worry, you believe in God, believe also in Jesus. Why is Jesus so important? Because in order for us to be able to be in the presence of God, we need Jesus first in our lives to purify us, to sanctify us, to clean us, to make us whole again. No one can come to the Father unless through me, Jesus says. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you something, my friends. There is a lot of ways out there that you can make it in life. And there is a lot of truths that you can find in science and in different things and math and whatever you want to find truth. There are some truths. But there's nothing that guarantees you in this world life like Jesus can give you life. Amen. And in all honesty, he is the only way and the only truth because he is life. And lastly, believing with a purpose. Mark 8:34-35 talks about once you accept this truth, once you accept this life, which is Jesus Christ, you now have a purpose. And that purpose he fulfills in your life. Without that, my friends, without that, we are nothing. Without a purpose, we are nothing. I'm just an empty vessel operating under whatever government wants to use me here on earth. But why not be under the government of God? Why not be under the government of the one that gives you life, that shows you the truth and the way? Why not allow him to be the number one thing in your life? And so it comes to the last one, which is separate ourselves from sin and submit in obedience. Why? Because we love him, not because he's a dictator saying, you need to do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not. No. It was like I was explaining this week to one of our students at the school that I'm giving Bible studies to. You know, the Ten Commandments are there just like a parent, right? When a parent tells us, honey, don't touch the iron because it's hot. It's because as a parent, we know that the iron, what does it do? It burns if you touch it when it's hot. And it will affect you. It will hurt you. And we don't want to see you cry. We don't want to see you hurt. We don't want to see you suffer, right? And in the same likeness, God does the same thing with us. In the same likeness, he has these commandments, not so that we, because he's a big dictator and wants to tell us what to do, and if we don't, he's going to strike lightning upon us. No, my friends. On the contrary, he shows us patience and love. And he says, please don't do this, because he loves us. He knows what is best for us, in the same way a parent knows what's best for us sometimes, right? And so if anyone that we can trust, it is in God who knows everything and loves us unconditionally. and loves us to the point that he's crazy in love with us so much that he wants to dwell with us. His presence wants to fill our lives, fill our hearts, and those that are next to us. He wants to be contagious to everybody. Amen. And so this is how we can be in the presence of God, by humbling ourselves, by seeking Christ, by believing in the purpose that he has for us, and by separating ourselves from the sin. This always reminds me of the story of the woman, the prostitute that they threw out at Jesus' feet to condemn her. And when everyone that wanted to condemn her and throw stones at her for the sin that she's committed, the sinful life that she committed, no one threw stones at her because Jesus pretty much told them, hey, you're all sinners. You're just as bad as this woman, if we want to talk about bad, right? And they all left. And then you could just imagine him coming down, because remember, he dwells in your presence. He didn't just say it from the top. I just imagine Jesus kneeling down to her as she was crying to his feet and saying, where are those that condemn you? I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Isn't that beautiful? We have a Jesus. We have a God that doesn't want to condemn us. And so because of that, we submit to him. We submit to God. So today, I want to leave you with this last thing. In my dream, there was this theme that I had last night. There was this theme, and the theme was this. We have the gospel. The gospel is considered the what? What does gospel mean? Good news, right? Gospel means good news. But I say, it's more than just good news. I say it's the best news that we can have, especially when a world is suffering the way that is going down right now. It is the best news. When we look at the television today, I mean, I've been looking at all this week, and all that you see is murder. Prices of gas go up, this and that, and governors and people cheating and people robbing, people doing this, doing. What good news? Then they put one little thing, a good segment of somebody doing something good. What are you going to remember? That? Or are you going to remember everything that was bad? It's like, why even try? That's why Jesus is the best news ever. Amen. And if we share that best news with our friends, if we share that best news with those that don't know anything better, that's going to be their best news as well. And that's why I wanted to present to you guys today. Seek God's face means that we need more of Jesus, because we need more of Jesus every single day that we live, every single hour, every single minute, every single second. The enemy is out there ready to devour our lives, to devour your marriage, your children against you, your family against you. He's ready to do that. But if we have Jesus, he has more power than the enemy, and he will see you have victory. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, thank you for the best news that we have in Jesus Christ. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Father, forgive us because sometimes we forget that you are the best news, that we need to seek your face every day, every hour, every minute, and every second. Forgive us for lacking, for doubting, for looking for other ways and other answers, other truths. Father, forgive us. Give us life. Breathe in us your Holy Spirit, that we can understand and be able to really have the presence, your presence in our life. We want to have that intimate moment with you, Father, where we know that you are with us, even in the dark valleys of shadow of death. Like David said, you stand near us. And sometimes you don't just stand, you also carry us through plenty of times. Father, teach us your ways. May we not reject the Bible, your word. May we not reject prayer and your Holy Spirit. May we learn to accept your will, honor you, and go forth and telling the best news to the world. We can't wait to see you, Father. So we pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.